Let's turn to the first page. What's a sales opportunity? Definition, so that we're all talking, you know, using the same terms. Write these words in. A sales opportunity is a problem or a need, need, N-E-E-D, or an interest or an objective on the part of a prospect or customer that your products or services could conceivably solve. In other words, a sales opportunity is something, some issue, some aspect of your customer. It's not about you, it's about your customer. Now, sales opportunities can be positive things your customer wants, like objectives or interests. You know, so often I hear salespeople say, well, I'm a problem solver. I solve my customer's problems. Well, okay, if your perspective, you are eliminating 50% of your sales opportunities because half of them are positive things. They're not problems. They're things your customer wants. Let's just use an example here. Let's say that you are a seller of industrial tools. You know, you sell to contractors or manufacturers or so on and so forth. And one of your customers says they're on a new initiative. They're going to try to increase their profits this year by reducing their operational costs by 3%. Okay, now is that a problem? No, it's not a problem. It is, however, an opportunity. It is an objective, and your customer is sharing with you an objective, and if you're at all astute, you can turn that objective into an opportunity. So, opportunities can be positive things that your customer wants. They can also be negative. Next line down, they can also be negative situation from which your customer wants to be relieved. Now, those are problems or needs. Let's go back to our example of you sell industrial tools, and one of your customers says, we have this particular type of tool that keeps breaking and shutting down our production line. That's a problem. So that problem equals an opportunity for you, but on the other side, an objective can be an opportunity for you. So what's a sales opportunity? Something in your customer's situation that gives rise to a possible sale, a possible solution that you have. Now, why are sales opportunities important? Well, they're the reason for your job existing. Just think about it. If it were not for sales opportunities, why would your company need you? They wouldn't. You know, if your job was just to take care of current business, solve, you know, billing problems and back order problems, all that kind of thing. Well, somebody else can do that better than you. They don't need a salesperson to do that. I mean, it is an opportunity is almost the definition of what a salesperson is. A salesperson is an opportunity identifier, an uncoverer, an unleasher of opportunities. That is the sole function or the heart of your job. So let's turn the page and talk about it. There's some issues here about opportunities, and I want to just address, we're going to address three issues here. Let me first identify what are the issues. Number one, missing sales opportunities is one of the biggest problems among salespeople. And I will tell you that, I've talked to thousands of sales managers and owners and so on in my career, and probably the number one complaint on the part of sales managers when they talk about their salespeople, probably their number one complaint is missed opportunities. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard a story that goes like this. Yeah, I was out working with so-and-so, we made a visit to this customer, and I could have wrung his or her neck because two or three times, you know, the customer brought up an opportunity, and they just missed it totally, and we left the place, and I'm shaking my head thinking, how come we miss those opportunities? We never really crystallized them. And that kind of story is probably the most common story I hear from sales managers. Missed opportunities. Salesperson is oblivious when the customer brings up, makes reference to an opportunity here or there, the other thing, and the salesperson just is oblivious to it and moves on. That's number one issue. Second issue is salespeople and all of us together, we often see only the superficial opportunities, not the deeper ones. Let's go back to an example here, what I mean by this. You're you're selling industrial tools. One of your customers says, "Hey, I need a new pneumatic hammer, air hammer." And now the average salesperson will say, "Okay, I've got this, and it's $77." Okay, that was an opportunity. Customer said, "I need an air hammer." That's an opportunity, but it's a very superficial opportunity. Suppose the salesperson would have said, "Oh, why do you need one now?" And the customer says, "Well, we're building a new workstation out here, and we need that in the workstation." Salesperson says, "Can I take a look at that workstation?" All at once, the salesperson realizes that there is a larger opportunity here. Maybe he can outfit the whole workstation, and he saw a superficial opportunity. You know, "I need an air hammer," when really that was only the tip of the iceberg, and underneath was a greater opportunity. See, this is an issue of quality, the quality of the opportunity. As we dig deeper, we create larger and bigger opportunities. Here's just a little way to envision this. Let's say that you could make a list of all of the opportunities you were currently aware of within your customers. Let's say you could make that list, and you could quantify or put a dollar amount on each of those opportunities, and you added it all up, and maybe it came to $250,000. Now, if you could somehow, without adding any new opportunities, take the dollar value from $250,000 to $500,000 or $1 million with those same opportunities, that would be an exercise in increasing the quality, the depth. You can make them bigger if you know how to do it, which we'll talk about in just a minute. So, second issue is not superficial, but deep opportunities. The problem is, the issue is quality of opportunities. The third issue is quantity. We often do not uncover the necessary quantity of sales opportunities. And in order to justify your job, in order to make a good living at what you do, you must continually uncover a certain quantity of sales opportunities. You know, we're all tempted to spend all our time working on the one big possibility, but oftentimes the bigger they are, you know, the more difficult they are to get. And one opportunity is probably not going to support you. One opportunity is probably not going to bring you to, you know, the kind of style of living that you want. It's the quantity issue. So, you know, again, here's a little exercise. Suppose you could do this. Let's go back to this listing the opportunities. Suppose you could make a list, again, of all of the opportunities in your accounts. You could say, "Well, here's Smith Brothers, and I have an opportunity to sell air hammers and rivet guns." Okay, well, there's two opportunities there. And then here's Jones Manufacturing. I have an opportunity. And so you go through and you list all of the current opportunities. And let's say you come up with 100. All right. Now, suppose you could go out into your territory, working it over the phone or in person over the next 2 weeks, and instead of uncovering 100 opportunities, you created a list of 200. Now, what would happen to your performance if you could double the number of opportunities available to you? Well, you know, everything else being equal, you'd probably double your sales. See, so the issue here when we come to opportunities is being aware of opportunities, increasing the quality, increasing the quantity, and that alone will improve our performance. Let's deal with each of these issues individually. Turn the page. You should have the page solving the missing opportunities problem at the top. What is the biggest issue in making sure that you don't miss opportunities? And it really is a mindset. Do not be overly rigid on your agenda. Boy, this is so difficult to describe, and it's difficult for us to do. The main reason salespeople miss opportunities, and they do not recognize them when their customers uncover them or mention them or hint at them, the main reason they do that is because we are so focused on our own agenda. You know, we're coming in to an account, we're talking to somebody on the phone, we've got our six things that we want to do, and we are so focused in doing those six things that we don't listen and uncover opportunities from the customer. This is one of the biggest challenges for salespeople. And there is a fine line between absorbing information, which is the first step to identifying opportunities, and then selling, which is presenting. And the best way that I have to illustrate it is this little picture of an old-time bellows. Now, this is that old-time antique instrument that as you took those two handles at the top and moved them apart, you know, away from one another, the bellows sucked in air, and then as you squeezed them the two together, the bellows shot the air out of the tube at the bottom. And this was used to encourage fires. You know, you're blowing air on the fire and other things. So that illustration of opening up and sucking in a lot, absorbing a lot of air, and then squeezing the handle and kind of shooting it out in a focused stream, that's kind of a mental image of this issue that I see as being really important to effective salespeople. And that is, there is a time for absorbing, where we're listening, we're taking in, we're trying to absorb as much information as we can, and then there is a time for presenting, which is our expressing our solution to the customer. Now, the reason we miss opportunities is because we do not do enough of the absorbing, the taking in. What we do instead is focus on our message. If you can think of, you know, communication is receiving information and expressing information. The reason we miss opportunities is we are too focused on our agenda, on expressing what it is we have to say, and not focused enough on the customer's objective. So it really is a mindset here. It really is a way to think about your job. You are a bellows. You are first absorbing and then focusing, absorbing, focusing. And you gain opportunities, you recognize opportunities when you absorb. So how do you do this? Well, you focus on the customer first. Focus on the customer first, not your stuff. So it starts with the customer. Think dialogue, D-I-A-L-O-G-U-E. The best sales calls are dialogues. Now, a dialogue is a mutual exchange of ideas, feelings, and facts, a mutual exchange. And the best salespeople are masters of dialogue. That means mutual understanding. There's a book, by the way, you know, every now and then I come across a book in a field other than sales, which opens insights, and I think, you know, it's a great way to get insights. But let me just recommend a book called Dialogue and the Art of Thinking Together by an author by the name of William Isaacs. Dialogue and the Art of Thinking Together. This is not a sales book, but it's a great book to help you understand and improve this issue of dialogue. Conversation, mutual exchange between your customer. That's the mindset that you have to have. Your job is a bellows. You're focusing on the customer. You're thinking dialogue. Now, real specifically, what are some very specific tactics to use to make sure that you're not missing opportunities? Well, the biggest thing is to listen. Listen. And probably one of the best ways to improve your listening skills is to decide that you're going to paraphrase in every opportunity that you can. And that means you listen to what your customer says, and then you say something like this. Write these down. In other words, and then you give back to the customer what he or she just said to you. You say, in other words, and give it back to him. Just repeat it back to him. Or you say, let me see if I understand you. And then you repeat it back to them. Or you say, so what you're saying is, and then you repeat it back to them. Now, if you will discipline yourself to paraphrase, it forces you to listen intently to the customer because you got to return it back to him. In other words, so it forces discipline on you to listen very effectively. So that's one. Number two, here's another technique: is to question the answer. And that is, whenever you ask a question, they give you an answer, ask another question about their answer. And let me say that again. It can get a little thick here. When you ask a question, they give you an answer, ask a question about their answer. So let's go back to our air hammer exchange here. Customer says, hey, I need an air hammer. And you say, okay, how many? And he says, two. You say, okay, how come you need two? And he says, well, you know, we want, we're doing this new workstation out back and so on and so forth. Well, you didn't know that, but you questioned the answer. When he said two, you asked a question about that. See, every time he gives you an answer, he asks a question about it, about the answer. And what that does is it forces you to listen, and every time you get an answer, it asks for more information. So it is a very specific technique to force you to listen. Here's number three, use lots of open-ended questions. Open-ended questions are questions that require the customer to explain. You know, they can't answer in one or two words. Write these down, because these are words here that you can use to introduce an open-ended question. Say things like this, quote, John, how do you feel about, and then fill in the blank. You know, how do you feel about equipping your workstation? Or here's another one. How important is that? That's an open-ended question. They're gonna explain. Or here's a great phrase. They use this all the time. Tell me, and then fill in the blank. So let's go back to our little illustration here. John says, "Hey, we need an air hammer." You say, "Okay, we can do that." Tell me, how come you need that right now? And he says, "Well, because blah 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 blah, we're building a new workstation." You say, "Oh, workstation. Can you tell me about that?" Tell me, and then fill in the blank, gets the customer talking, gives you information, and in the information are opportunities more than likely. So listening through some of these very specific tactics are things you do to make sure that you're not missing opportunities. Letter C, react positively to any hint of an opportunity. As you listen, if they come up with something that's a hint of an opportunity, you know, let's go back to our air hammer thing. Gee, I need a new air hammer. Oh, gee, how come you need a couple of those? Well, so, you know, we got a project going on back. Now, that's a hint. That's a hint of an opportunity. And you can say something like, oh. And oh is a great open-ended question that requires people to explain. So, you know, let's go back to our dialogue. Customer says, new air hammer, a couple new air hammers. You say, gee, tell me about how you're going to be using those. And he says, well, we got a project going on back. And you say, oh. And he says, yes, as a matter of fact, we're building a new workstation. And you say, oh. Can I take a look? Might be able to help you out in some other ways. Can I take a look? Bam, you are now in the middle of an opportunity because you listened, because you asked a couple open-ended questions, because you said, oh, and now you're in the middle of a greater opportunity. See how that works? Of course, you know, one more time. Here it is again. Ask lots of questions. Turn the page. So that's how you make sure you're not missing it. Let's talk about making sure that you're solving the quality problem. Here's a little perspective. I know many of you are aware of my onion analogy, and it's different layers of an onion, and it's a slice out of an onion. See that? So we got layers at the top and more and more layers as we go to the bottom. Okay, that is a way of doing a lot of things in sales, but in this particular case, it is a way of visualizing the quality of an opportunity. If, for example, a customer says, hey, what's your price on air hammers? And you say, $76. Okay, what you've done is you have an opportunity, a very superficial opportunity, and you issued a price in that regard. So when your customer asks for a price on something, that is the most superficial of all opportunities. When they ask you to show you the product that you're talking about, that is a greater opportunity. When they talk about service, you know, like, okay, you're going to deliver in 24 hours, and you've got a website that shows them how to use the thing or whatever. Okay, that's deeper yet. As we go through this, we find that there are deeper and deeper opportunities that express themselves in certain ways. For example, let's start here with down towards the heart of the end, the systems. What the customer is really thinking about is some kind of system to reduce his or her costs by 3%. And as he thinks through that, he comes to, what's your price on air hammers? Now, if you're a great salesperson, if you understand how this is done, you take that inquiry about air hammers and you bring it down and you keep asking deeper and deeper questions, and you discover that really what they're after the heart of the issue in this particular case is they really want a system to reduce their operational costs. Now you got a bigger opportunity. See that? I mean, the air hammer was $76. The system could be $200,000. You've taken the tip of the iceberg, the top, the surface of the onion, and developed a greater opportunity through dialogue and discussion, and now you're into a discussion of systems. Now that is what good salespeople do. It really, this ability to enlarge the opportunity by digging deeper, that's what we're talking about here. This is the difference between average salespeople and superstar salespeople. The average salesperson, when the customer says, hey, we need a couple air hammers, will say, okay, I got this, $76. Now that's what the average salesperson does. The superstar salesperson digs deeper. He says, oh, we need a couple air hammers. And you say, oh, okay, fine. Hey, what are you using those for? And can you tell me about that a little bit? Oh, can I go see it? Can you show me what you're thinking about here? And then as you go out to the plant tour, you're talking to the customer. And you uncover that this is not about an air hammer. This is about a system to reduce costs by 3%. And now you say, let me make a proposal. There are several things we can do here. And bing, you're into a larger opportunity. See that? Quality. Now, this is an issue of the quality techniques. And interestingly enough, you'll find some redundancy here in the techniques. You're going to question more deeply. And you do these things. Again, the same techniques will bring you to a greater quality. You question the answer. And I just gave you an example about that. You ask why. And you can ask why in ways other than using the word why. You know, you can say, what brings that up? Or how are you going to be using that? Or what's the issue right now? You know, things like that. And what that does when you ask those kinds of questions is it peels the onion and asks the customer to uncover an opportunity at the next level of depth. Again, you use open-ended questions in the same sort of way. You look for priorities and values. You know, you say, what are you really trying to achieve here? Boy, that's a great question. Write that one down. What are you really trying to achieve here? That asks them, don't talk to me about air hammers. Talk to me about the real core issue here. What are you really trying to achieve here? What are some of the implications? That's a great question. You know, he says, we're building, you know, we're thinking about reducing our costs by 3%. You say, well, what are the implications? If you're able to do that, what are some of the implications? That means, what's the benefit to them? And he says, well, you know, we'll be more profitable, and I expect, you know, I'll actually get some profit-sharing bonus because this company does profit-sharing. You say, so if I can help you reduce your costs, then you'll get a bonus. Yeah, probably. Let's talk about you getting a bonus. Now what you've done is just made that personal. You see that? Just through dialogue. Dialogue is the issue. Number two, build powerful, trusting relationships. Relationships. It's the relationship with your customer that gives you the opportunity to dig deeper. It's very difficult to dig deeper, to ask more and more questions to say, hey, can I go out and back and take a look at this? Can you and I go, can you show me what you're thinking of doing out there? It takes a relationship in order to give you the opportunity to ask those kinds of questions. I'm just absolutely convinced that the role of the relationship between the customer and the salesperson is growing in importance. As our customers' lives and jobs become more stressful and they become more overwhelmed with things, it's the relationship with someone that they know and trust and feel comfortable with that will allow you to dig deeper and uncover greater quality. Now let's turn the page and talk about quantity. We talked about missing opportunities. We talked about enlarging the quality or the depth of the opportunity. Now let's talk about solving the quantity issues. And again, the issue here is, just how many opportunities do you have today? Can you increase the number of opportunities? And if you can, that alone will help you to be more successful. That alone. Because now you're not dealing with just a few, you're dealing with more. More opportunities equals more sales in almost every situation. So it begins with a mindset. And there is to some extent in every sales job, to some degree, ladies and gentlemen, it is a numbers game. Now, I'm a great believer in, you know, quality and so on, and you know, in digging deeper, but still, you have to have a certain quantity of opportunities that you're constantly uncovering and continually working with, or you are not going to be successful. You are not going to be profitable to your company unless you have a certain quantity. Quantity is an aspect of sales. So let's talk about tactics. I mean, how do you increase the quantity? Well, probably the biggest thing that I have discovered over the years is just to focus on activity goals and to give yourself a goal for the quantity of opportunities that you uncover. And here's what you do. Got this little form here. Let's just fill it in together. I'm going to put month, August, and I'm going to put product or service. In other words, I'm trying to be very specific with the kind of opportunities I want to uncover this month. So I'm going to put in air hammer. Okay, air hammer. Now, how many opportunities for an air hammer do I want to try to create this month? Or uncover this month? And I'm going to say, well, 15 opportunities. That is not how many sales calls. It is how many opportunities where an air hammer might solve the customer's problem or help the customer achieve his objectives. Remember our definition of an opportunity? How many of those can I uncover this month? So you say 15 or 20 or whatever it is. And then you just keep track with little hash marks each time you uncover one of those opportunities, and at the end of the month you say, well, I did 12. Okay, well, then what's the difference? -3. Next month I better try a little harder to uncover more opportunities. And then over here, you know, we're going to talk about presenting solutions for the next 2 months, but how many times in the course of the month did you present a solution, did you present your air hammer as a result of uncovering that opportunity? So the primary technique in increasing the quantity of opportunities is to create quantity goals for yourself. Begin to track how many opportunities you uncover in the course of the month. Give yourself a goal to increase more. And you know what that does is it focuses you on absorbing information in receiving information, in listening more precisely, because that's where you find opportunities. Number two, it's always a great idea if you can. Now I realize a number of you just sell over the phone. Difficult for you to take a tour, but those of you who are in person, if you can get a tour of the company's, of your customers' facilities or locations or whatever, you know, that is a great opportunity. Even if you're selling like financial services or advertising or something like that, you know, if you're not selling industrial tools, but something else, because a tour is more conversation. It is an opportunity to bond a little bit and connect with your customer. You know, a tour, you can find things to in the course of the tour to remark on. You can get the customer talking. You can lead the conversation with some of those open-ended questions. And even if there's nothing in the environment that you see, the tour gives you an opportunity to dialogue some more with the customer. In addition, you might see things in the environment that are clues to opportunities. So taking a tour is a great way to increase opportunities. Here's a big one. Boy, I'm going to do it somewhere in the future. I'm going to do a seminar just on this one alone, number three. Tell stories. Stories are great ways to uncover opportunities. Now, let me dig into this a little bit. You need to prepare some of this. You need to spend some time identifying and compiling some stories. Here's a story. Let's go back to our air hammer. what you want to do is create an opportunity for an air hammer. So you create a story. The story should have three pieces to it. Number one, it should have some problem or objective that one of your customers had. Now, you know, let's go back to our air hammer and say, well, one of our customers wanted to increase their or decrease their operational costs by 2%. Okay, that's you're telling a story about a customer who had an opportunity. And the opportunity was decrease operational costs by 2%. So that begins, that's part one of your story. You identify a problem or an opportunity that one of your customers has had in the past. Part two of your story is what you or your company did to help that customer. So back to our air hammer, you know, oh yeah, this reminds me of one of my customers who last year was wanting to reduce their operational costs by 3%. And, you know, we talked to them about it, got a sense of what their operation was, and we brought in this new air hammer. And the air hammer, because it was so much faster and better and so on, it reduced their cost by 2%. And then we trained their people in ways that they could use the air hammer a little better, and we set up our replacement system and our preventative maintenance program to keep those air hammers working well all the time. So now what you did in this story, let me just review. You indicated a customer's problem or objective. You told them what you did as a result. And then part three of your story is the results that the customer experienced because of what you did. So there's three pieces to a story. The problem or objective in another customer, what you did to help them with that, and then the results they achieved. To end my story, you could say, well, and as a result of that, they were able to reduce their operational costs by 4%. And in fact, the purchasing agent got a larger profit-sharing bonus because it happened to be a profit-sharing company just like yours. Now, when you tell a story, it does all kinds of good things. You know, the customer is able to connect, to engage with the people in the story. Customer's able to take his or her situation and sort of see it through that perspective. Customers will hear what they want to hear in that. They'll pick out things that are important to them. Maybe in this case, you know, the most important thing that you said was that purchasing agent got a bigger profit-sharing bonus. All at once, that gets the customer thinking about your air hammer and how it might be able to help them. Now, you have not presented it. You haven't asked the customer to do anything, but you just told the story. Sometime in the next week or so, and you identify three or four stories of, and it, you know, it doesn't have to be your personal customer. It can be anybody in the company that had a problem or objective. Your company did something to help them. They achieved some result, and that's a story. Then you ought to be telling stories. Number four, methodically present the whole line. This is a great way to expand the number, the quantity of opportunities. Sometimes, most of the time, you create or uncover an opportunity by listening and absorbing and so on. Sometimes you generate an opportunity by showing the customer a category or a product that the customer could buy from you, but they are not now buying. And I will tell you that most of your customers do not know everything they could buy from you. They do not know that. They see you through the perspective of what they have purchased in the past. And they don't know that you've got these other 200 things or 20,000 things or whatever the case may be. And the reason they don't know that is because you have not educated them to everything they could buy from you. And so what you do is do a little spreadsheet, identify all your good customers on down a column, and then across, you know, you do some columns across with all the different categories of product they could buy from you, and very methodically you educate each customer on that thing which they could buy from you and they are not, and you will uncover some opportunities. Absolutely guarantee it. Here's number five. I'm going to add five. It's not on your page, but I want you to write down number five, and that is this. Follow up after the installation. Follow up after the installation. Now, what I mean by that is after your customer has purchased whatever it is you sell and they have begun to use it, that's important. They have begun to use it. Within 2 weeks, you go back in and see the customer. Now they're in a good mood because hopefully, you know, your thing is doing what it said it was. You said it was going to do, and they're happy at this point in time. A year from now, they may be unhappy with it. But right now, immediately after purchase, is when they're going to be the happiest. So you're going to go in within 2 weeks. You're going to ask them, are they satisfied? Are they happy? Is this doing what they said it was going to do? Are they pleased with their decision at this point? You know, those kinds of questions to get them to say yes, yes, yes. Oh, I'm a happy camper. Right, right, right. Okay, now, after you have done this, then you ask two or three probing, open-ended questions about other opportunities. So you just sold two air hammers, and you're going back in, you know, 2 weeks after they have been delivered, and you're saying, how do those air hammers work? They're working out for you? Your guys using them the way they should be? Great. Oh, glad to hear that. So, you know, there are some other ways that we might be able to help you. Do you have anything in your budget this year for workstations? Okay. How do you feel about this or that or the other thing? Tell me about what the plans are for reducing operational costs. And what's happening here is, so you're going back in at the moment in time when the customer is most conducive to responding to you, to being affirmative and positive. You're asking him first to say yes, and again, nodding yes, 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 doing what. So you got him in an affirmative mode, and at that point in time, you probe with some very specific probing questions that will uncover other opportunities. That's what you do. Turn the page. Just a couple words here on managing opportunities. Just wanted to toss this in as an add-on, you know, as an extra little thing here, and that is there is a mindset here that not all opportunities are created equal. There are some that have more potential than others. And part of your job as a professional salesperson is to analyze and prioritize the potential of every opportunity. If you've got 100 opportunities, those are not all created equal. You need to analyze those and say which of these is the highest potential. Potential is the likelihood of you getting money, of money received, in exchange for your time invested. Write that down. Likelihood of money received in exchange for time invested. So what you're going to do is two things. As you look at your list of opportunities, it's a great thing to do on a regular basis, like about every 2 or 3 weeks. You've got to be doing this. Look at your list of opportunities. Analyze them in terms of potential. Analyze them in terms of the process. What will it take to turn this opportunity into an order? And usually there's several steps. And this is just a little diagram here to help you think in terms of steps. What do you have to do to get this? And then you sit down and prioritize the opportunities and the steps in the process, because you probably can't do everything, and so you have to, you know, focus more intently on the highest potential opportunities. Turn the page. Let me summarize. Summary. Okay. Focus on learning about the customers via dialogue. Focus on learning about the customers via dialogue. Number two, focus on uncovering deeper opportunities via thoughtful questions. Number three, focus on maintaining a significant quantity of opportunities. And over to the side, in that white space to the right, I want you to write down good questions, good stories, listen effectively. Those are your three tactics that will allow you to do these top three things. Good questions, good stories, listen effectively. And then number four, analyze and prioritize opportunities. Let's see. Question number one, how do we get people to open up to us when we are calling to thank them for their business? I just mentioned that. What you do, again, is call within 2 weeks of their reception of the goods, number one. Number two, it's okay to thank them. You know, we're just calling to thank you and so on. But ask, say, there's a couple things that I want to follow up on. Have you got a second? So get their permission to talk a little bit more extensively with them. So I would ask their permission to spend more time. And then I would ask some specific things about what it was they bought. You know, are you satisfied with this? Is this what you expected? Are you doing this? And the reason you do that, again, is to get them saying yes to you, to get them in an affirmative mode, get them thinking about the positive aspects of the relationship. And then, again, I would ask a question or two to try to uncover other opportunities. Focus on some open-ended questions. Things like, tell me, how do you feel about, what are your thoughts regarding, those kinds of questions get people talking. And the other thing is, boy, you really need to try to make a personal connection in the time that you have. Maybe it's some experience that you had that was like them, or, you know, some funny thing that happened over the weekend, or something. I mean, don't be afraid to share something personal about yourself and about, you know, your job or whatever. When you share something, see, that gives the other side permission to share something with you. And you need to go first on that. So once you get their permission to talk more, you're going to ask some questions about their experience with the product. Try to share something to kind of break the ice. Ask some open-ended questions. That's how you do it. Here's the next one. How do you handle people who are in a hurry? This is a greater issue. You know, this is a major issue for all salespeople today, because our customers have less time today than they had a few years ago. Our customers are under great constraints on time, and, man, getting time with them is difficult. Well, so what do you do? Several things you can do. Here's some very specific responses to that. Number one, I'm assuming that you get them into some conversation, and they're saying to you, boy, I'm in a hurry, I have to go, something like that. Okay. What you do is, number one, ask for a specific amount of time. You say something like, gee, I really need about 7 minutes of your time. So you ask for, give them a very specific period of time. That's number one. Number two, tell them what they're going to get for that investment of their time. See, you're asking them to invest some of their time with you. Why should they do that? So give them a reason why. You know, John, I want to take I appreciate you're in a hurry. I'm going to need 7 minutes of your time in order to show you a way that we can help you relieve some of your issues in regards to safety. Okay, so you told them why. You ask for a period of time, and then ask them this. Do you have time now, or should we schedule it for a more convenient time? And, you know, lots of times your customers are right in the middle of something, man. You could leave them for a meeting. It's not, you know, it's not that they don't like you. It's that you don't know what's happening on their end. And so you ask for a period of time. Tell them how much time, why it's going to be a benefit to them, and then you ask them, do you have time now, or should we schedule it for a more convenient time? If they say they have time now, then go ahead with what it is that you want to do, because they've just given you permission. If they say, I don't have time now, then you try to schedule it sometime when they do. And if they will schedule it, they are saying to you, okay, I will enter into this dialogue with you for this period of time at this time. And that's how you do it.
Hi, Dave. And my question is, you hear a lot about the 80-20 rule, which says 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your customers. Can you maybe talk a little bit about that in relation to the quantity factor that we talked about?
Yes.
If you can get maybe too many?
Yeah, that's a great question. And on the surface of things, it seems like it might be a little contradictory. Let me go into this now a little bit. Yes, there is a rule, 80-20 rule, called the Pareto Principle. Pareto Principle says that 20% of your customers provide 80% of your volume. Okay. Now, in my research, I would say absolutely that's true. Probably also 20% of your opportunities provide 80% of your volume. Probably also true, there's another number just to complicate things more, and that's 550. 5% of your customers, 5% of your opportunities probably are going to provide approximately 50% of your volume. So how do you justify, how do you compare that with this issue of quantity? And my response is, you got to generate quantity first before you can analyze quality. In other words, if you've got 10 opportunities, okay, you can focus on 2 of the 10, but if you've got 100 opportunities, your chance of uncovering big, good quality opportunities are greater because of the mass that you're working with. So quantity comes before quality. You got to generate the quantity of opportunities in order to, out of that, have a solid group of quality. And yes, when it comes time to, you know, this little section that I just did real quickly on managing and analyzing and prioritizing, that's what you're going to do. You generate a big quantity of opportunities, and on a regular basis, like I said, every 2 or 3 weeks, you analyze them to pick out the highest quality, and those are the ones that you invest in, the 20-80. But you got to have quantity before you can get to quality. Hope that helps. Here's a question. As a sales manager, how can I encourage my salespeople to notice opportunities when they come up? I'm afraid we're guilty of missing them. Okay, now I'm going to speak specifically to sales managers. What can you, as a sales manager, do to help your people sort of, you know, follow through on this? Well, number one is I would bring it up, the concept, opportunity, I would bring it up in conversation with my salespeople. I would talk about opportunities. I would ask them to track opportunities. I would ask them to identify them. I would ask them that, you know, it's a fair question to say, list the opportunities you currently are working on. List them for me. Show me how much they're worth and where they're at and so on. I mean, those kinds of exercises force a thought process. And the thought process is a sensitivity to opportunity. So bring it up. So here's some very specific things. As a sales manager, bring it up in conversation. Talk with them about opportunities. Ask them to do some of these exercises. Identify, rank, rate, and so on. Train them when you're with them. I would focus on the three major tactics here, and that is good questions. Listen for good questions. Talk about the use of good questions. Talk about open-ended questions. So good questions, number one. Number two, good stories. You can create corporate stories to tell. Number three, good listening. I would really focus on those three, and those three will generate opportunities. And then ask them to track and notice and rank and so on opportunities. And those kinds of things on your part will drive deeper the behaviors that we're talking about here. You will see, you will definitely see results, sales improve by focusing on uncovering opportunities. So